Network News.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated, the birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is the Sunday Weekly Review, and there's a lot to talk about this week. And if I had to give a theme for all the many things to talk about this week, it would be careful about believing your own lies. This is an administration that from the very beginning has lied to the American people on everything from the war in Iraq to 9/11 to Homeland Security to its fealty to the religious right. Everything has been a lie. And that befits an administration run by a political department in the hands of Karl Rove, determined to get this president elected no matter what and reelected to boot. But now we find this poor administration is actually believing its own lies. And perhaps the clearest example of this is Karen Hughes. Karen Hughes, who in an Indonesian Muslim audience said that one of the reasons that we have to try Saddam Hussein is because he gassed hundreds of thousands of people. Now, that's a really fun lie because it's a lie that, has been told several times, including on this show. I've had people come on this show on Debate Tuesdays and other examples where they say, Saddam Hussein gassed hundreds of thousands of Kurdish people. You know, he was a dictator beyond all dictators. Well, he was a bad guy. I'll grant you that. A pretty awful guy. He, in fact, gassed 5,000 Kurds. And he did so with America's support. And that's the part of the story that's coming out. You see, as long as you let uninformed talk radio hosts, people like Rush Limbaugh and some of the conservatives that come on my show, people like Sean Hannity, all the chattering class that controls the right-wing airwaves on the Fox propaganda channel, as long as you let them make up lies, like Saddam Hussein gassed hundreds of thousands of people, you don't have to correct them. They can make the lies, and enough of the right-wing will believe them that you've done your duty. But Karen Hughes, unfortunately, listened to the same propaganda that everyone that's intelligent and controlling in this administration knows is only intended for the masses. You don't eat what you're serving to the masses. Come on. You don't start believing Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh is a useful idiot. You put him out there to convince Americans of lies, and the press never checks on him. You know, the elite, the people in the know, the people in Washington, see, everyone knows that Rush Limbaugh's lying out of his I was going to say his rear end, but he's had some problems there. Let's just say he's lying repeatedly. And yet, the administration is starting to believe its own lies. When Karen Hughes says, before a Muslim audience, that Saddam Hussein gassed hundreds of thousands of people, and then she's forced to tell the truth, that actually he gassed 5,000 Kurds, then it shows that the entire lie that a lot of people were believing, it shows it to be wrong. And there's so many things I want to talk about this week, but when we get to the trial of Saddam Hussein. Again, the administration is starting to believe its own lies. They are focusing on all the awful things Saddam Hussein did, and he was an awful man. But in trying him, they don't seem to understand what his classic defense is. A very easy one, which is, yeah, I did awful, horrible, disgusting things. Yeah, I tortured people. Yeah, I gassed people. But guess what? America supported me. President Ronald Reagan, President Bush Sr. supported me. Sometimes they looked the other way. Sometimes they actually encouraged me to do some of my mass murders. Oops. Administration, watch it. It's one thing to tell out to the general public Hussein was a bad guy, and people generally know it's true, but don't examine it too closely, or people will realize that your father, Bush Jr., and Ronald Reagan, that paragon of virtue, had so much to do with helping Saddam Hussein. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Lawrence Wilkerson, the former Secretary of State's Colin Powell's chief of staff, who talked about the Cheney-Rumsfeld cabal within the administration, determined to lie to the American people, determined to reject obvious evidence that Saddam Hussein, while a nasty guy, was no threat to the United States, that Saddam Hussein, while a nasty guy, didn't have nuclear weapons. And when he talked about this cabal, all I can say is now when Bush is down, now the public is getting it from the media. And to prove my point, and I got to pat myself on the back every now and then, I'm going to play for you during this broadcast from my very first show, from the very first time The Inside Scoop was on the air, June 22nd, 2003, 3 weeks before Robert Novak's famous column where he helped the government out, CIA agent Valerie Plame Wilson, wife of Joe Wilson. Before then, I was talking about manipulation of evidence by, yes, Dick Cheney, and yes, those aluminum tubes in Niger. I was talking about it, not too many people were. And now, finally, the inside scoop I gave more than 2 years ago is becoming accepted wisdom. A lot more to talk about. There's poor Harriet Myers, who may be a very nice person, but is clearly not appropriate to be a Supreme Court justice, and why it is that the right wing is hyping all over her. I want to talk about a senator from Alaska, Ted Stevens, who is so upset that we would dare tend to New Orleans, a population of 1 million, before we would tend to 50 people on the island of Alaska. I want to talk about the Catholic Church and how it is that they don't have enough priests because they won't allow people to marry and because they won't allow gay people to be priests. And the military, they don't have enough people in the military. They won't allow gay people in the military. When people start to believe their own lies, they get in trouble, folks. You want to call in? 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-827-7658.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-827-7658. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-827-7658. That's 800-827-7658.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're going to discuss the news of the week. All topics are valid, but the overriding theme, which becomes clearer and clearer as the news progresses, is don't believe your own lies. In the Bush administration, it's one thing to do what you've been doing for the last 6 years, to make up things, to put them out before the American people, to have all kinds of false press conferences and photo opportunities, to claim mission accomplished, strut around in the flight suit. All of that's fine, as long as the American people believe it, but not the people inside. The liars should never start to believe their own lies, because when they do, it leads to their downfall. Let me give you an historical example. Joe McCarthy, Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin in the 1950s, was not a big anti-communist senator back in 1950. In fact, when he was looking for a re-election issue, he was discussing with his various advisors, and they decided that the St. Lawrence Seaway was the big issue for Wisconsin. They needed to widen that great river that goes from the Great Lakes out through Canada. They needed to widen it. It would help Wisconsin shipping. That was going to be the issue that Joe McCarthy would run for re-election on. And he pretty much decided on the issue when another advisor said, almost as a joke, or you could talk about communists in government. Everyone had a good laugh. They were drinking at the time. Joe McCarthy was a really good drinker. In fact, he died of alcoholism. And they decided, you know what? That would be a sexier topic. Let's talk about communists in the government. So Joe McCarthy took out a laundry list, literally a laundry list. It was, 3 shirts and 4 pants, whatever, to the dry cleaners. And at a campaign stop in West Virginia, decided to trot out this new strategy. You can almost hear him sort of grinning. And he said, I have a list here of 250 communists in the American government. Well, the press went hog wild. Oh, my God, communists in the government? We've got a whole list of communists. The Truman administration is secretly communist, helping the Soviet Union. The press went wild. The Red Scare began. I mean, what Joe McCarthy did eventually led to the House on Un-American Activities, blacklists of famous American actors, a full-scale attack on Hollywood. About the only thing it didn't lead to was an investigation into what Joe McCarthy had on his list. It was a laundry list. No communists. Oh, there may well have been Soviet spies in the U.S. government, but Joe McCarthy didn't know about it. He was making it up for a big campaign issue. But as time went on, Joe McCarthy started to believe his own lies. He started to actually believe he had lists of communists in the State Department. People came to help him. People showed old lists that had already been examined by the Truman administration, showed him stuff, and soon he was out there grilling American artists, blacklisting anyone who ever suggested they might support socialism, which of course is very different from Soviet communism. And soon, what do we have? We had the Red Scare. And it got so bad, and McCarthy started to believe his own lies until he started to say silly things. He started to do silly things. He started to attack people in the military until, finally, Dwight D. Eisenhower and people, courageous press people like Edward R. Murrow, took him down. Well, I have to say, this is the analogy for the current administration. This is an administration that purposely knew that Iraq was no threat. They knew there were no weapons of mass destruction. Oh, maybe there was a chemical vial buried somewhere, but they knew Iraq had no nuclear weapons. They knew Iraq was no serious threat to the United States. And they sold a bill of goods on us. And at the time, and I'm going to play some of my old stuff from 2 years ago. At the time, virtually no one questioned them. Virtually no one. But then they started to believe their own lies. People like Karen Hughes started to believe Saddam Hussein was a bigger monster than he was. He was a monster, but mostly a monster with our support, not something they want to talk about. It's the same thing in the military or in the Catholic Church, where they're decrying a lack of priests for the Catholics and a lack of people joining the military. At the same time, they're discriminating against gay people. People need to watch their rhetoric, watch their lies, because when they come to believe it, they get in trouble. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let me go to Pat in Carlsbad. Pat, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, how you going?
I'm doing good.
Hey, while we're piling on Bush, let's not forget old Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
Remember that Carter, I was in Oklahoma, I work in the energy field, and in the late 70s there, Carter had put in tax credits, you were starting to see windmills everywhere, solar was taking off, then Ronald Reagan gets in with Stockman, boom, they cut it all out. We could have had like 25, 30-year start on, alternative energy, and we wouldn't have to be in the Middle East, we wouldn't have to worry about all this. So Reagan, and also Reagan lowered the bar as far as dumb. I mean, that was one dumb white man right there.
Pat, you make two strong points. The first one, poor Jimmy Carter. And I don't think Jimmy Carter was the best president of the United States, but he certainly wasn't the worst and certainly wasn't the kind of person that has been put up, in history books as sort of an incompetent president. One of the things that Jimmy Carter – first of all, he had honesty. He had integrity. Uh-huh. Whatever you think about Jimmy Carter, there's no question this was a man with integrity. But the other thing is, you're absolutely right, Pat. He began us on the road to conservation. He's the one that started putting in the CAFE standards for cars and for, you're right, windmills and bringing us into the rest of the world, the metric system, and really tried to look forward not just to a year or 2 years from now, but to completely taking America, weaning it away from its dependence on foreign oil. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I remember 70s and 80s, people started having smaller cars. They got rid of the gas guzzlers. Then came Reagan. Then came Bush. Then came, SUVs. And what's interesting now is we're seeing with the huge gas prices, finally, people are starting to go back to those Carterite ideas of 30 years ago and starting to look at hybrids and things like that. You're right. Jimmy Carter was a prophet in that way. And Ronald Reagan, well, he led us down the wrong path. The other thing he led us down the wrong path was with Saddam Hussein. It's going to come out, and I think a lot of Americans are going to be surprised, people who haven't focused on their history. There's no question in my mind that in the defense of Saddam Hussein, they are going to bring out all of the support for Saddam Hussein by Ronald Reagan and by Bush prior to the Kuwait War. And that's not going to be something that this president is going to want to see.
Mark, can I mention one other thing?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was living there in Texas, and like in the late 70s, all your car plants, steel plants were going down the tubes. Well, all those people were moving down to Texas because the oil field was booming. And I think that the Republicans were using the killing of jobs as a gerrymandering. First, they had everybody move from Ohio, Missouri, Michigan down to Texas. Then they go, oh, wait a minute, we got too many. So then for the whole entire 80s, that area was depressed. They moved them out of there. So they went to the coast or wherever, and guess what's all Republican now? Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana.
Well, that certainly is true. I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but there's no question that's how it was left. Hey, Pat, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We're going to come right back with more of your calls at 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. You can also comment on the blog. Some of you would rather write than talk. That's fair. Just go to www.radioinsidescoop.com and make your comment. And tell me if you agree with me that the more troubling, even than an administration that lies, is an administration that starts to believe their own lies because they're finding out that when they start to be true believers, we find out they were lying all along. We'll be right back after this.
Is life moving too fast? If you're self-employed or a small business owner, you have no choice but to move as fast as you can. Sometimes you move so fast you don't take a close look at life's details. When was the last time you looked at your health insurance? If you don't have health insurance or if you have the wrong coverage, serious medical bills could mount up. That's where the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company comes in. We provide affordable health insurance for the self-employed and small business owners. If you don't have health insurance, call us. If you have coverage, call anyway. See if we can give you better coverage at a better price. Stay on track for affordable health insurance designed specifically for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call 877-735-6460. That's 877-735-6460. Home office located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states and benefits may vary by state. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance. Call 877-735-6460 for details.
Truckers keep America on the move, and lots of times it's chiropractors who keep truckers going. Here's a benefits card for truckers with discounts of 30 to 50% from a network of thousands of doctors of chiropractic in cities and towns all across America. This same card provides savings up to 60% from dentists at home and on the road. For $11.95 a month for individuals and $19.95 for your whole family, besides savings on chiropractors and dentists, there are similar savings on prescriptions and optical services at home and on the road. Got to get braces for the kids? Why not save 50%. This isn't insurance. These are instant savings with no paperwork to fill out. Truckers are important to us and the whole point of truckersbenefits.com. Get online now. Go to www.truckersbenefits.com for the whole story. If you're on the road, phone home and tell them to check out truckersbenefits.com from just $11.95 per month.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the Sunday Weekly Review. When I look over the news of this Sunday, I can't help but notice that the administration is not only being caught in their own lies, they're making the mistake of believing their own lies. Evidence is coming out, for example, that President Bush knew about Tradergate, that he absolutely knew that his advisors were smearing Joe Wilson, poor Ambassador Joe Wilson, who made the only mistake of telling the truth to the administration and later to the American people, that our government was lying to us about a nuclear threat, trying to scare us with a mushroom cloud into going into Iraq. And the evidence is that Bush knew about it. Now, did Bush lie to the special prosecutor? Here's the problem. If he starts to believe his own lies, he may not remember it. But obstruction of justice, not the underlying burglary, obstruction of justice is what brought down Nixon and Watergate. And so this administration is in a lot of trouble for believing their own lies. Toll free, 877-528-TALK. Let me go to Amy in Coronado, California. Amy, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about what your last caller was talking about with Ronald Reagan. I think Ronald Reagan was probably one of the worst presidents, if not the worst, we've ever had until this guy. A lot of people forget that Ronald Reagan's administration was one of the most corrupt. They had more indictments than Nixon's administration, and they negotiated with terrorists before he was even in office to keep our hostages longer so Jimmy Carter would lose the election. They're just a despicable bunch, and this administration is trying to, out-despicabilize them, if that is even a word.
Well, you know, many of them are the same crew. Let's not forget that it's
the same Don Rumsfeld.
Right, that same Don Rumsfeld and the same Dick Cheney. Rumsfeld, who went to Iraq, shook hands with the person we consider such an awful dictator, he had to be deposed, shook hands with Saddam Hussein and basically said, this is a man we can do business with. I remember back in the 80s, I remember the Iran-Iraq war. I was a kid at the time, but I remember thinking, you know, neither country is particularly a wonderful country. Both, you have the theocracy in Iran that was, you know, mistreating its people. You had Saddam Hussein, the dictator. And I remember thinking, I feel bad for the people, but I don't want to help either side. Both sides, you know, if they're destroying each other, maybe something good will come out of it. But Ronald Reagan determined that he was going to take Iraq's side in the war with Iran, maybe because of, as you pointed out, the results of the hostage crisis with Jimmy Carter. And so he allowed United States companies, chemical companies, including, by the way, Bechtel Corporation, which was the corporation that George Shultz, his Secretary of State, was the CEO of. People don't remember this stuff.
Yeah.
But Bechtel Corporation, Ronald Reagan's Secretary of State, George Shultz's corporation, sold chemical weapons to Iraq. Now, I don't claim the U.S. was the only country. France and Russia also sold chemical weapons. But the chemical weapons that were used to kill the Kurds, and why were they killing the Kurds? It wasn't, again, I'm not trying to defend Saddam Hussein or killing or gassing by any stretch, but it wasn't sort of a genocide-like Holocaust gassing. It was because the Kurds were people who supported independence, who wanted freedom, you know, and...
Right, and then he uncovered a plot where they were trying to assassinate him.
Right, and you know what?
Yeah.
I have always supported Kurdish independence. I supported it back with Ronald Reagan. I support it today. But what's interesting is at that time, we had no problem crushing the Kurds. We had no problem helping Saddam Hussein crush the Kurds if we thought it would help him in his war with Iran. And what's interesting is with this trial coming up, there's no doubt in my mind Saddam Hussein is going to point the finger right at Ronald Reagan. And
we're
America...
not going to hear anything of that.
America,
we're not going to get to hear testimony.
It'll be interesting if we do, because America has forgotten its own history.
Yes.
The people in charge have said their lies long enough that even Karen Hughes is starting to believe the administration's lies. And when you believe...
Exactly.
When you believe your own lies for too long, you can't mount a good defense because you start saying your lies as if they're true. And then they're shown, as with Karen Hughes, they're not true. Stick around with me, Amy. I'm going to get to you some more when we come back. When we come back, I also want to talk about another man who believes his own lies, Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. Florida officials say many people have chosen to remain in Key West despite the mandatory evacuation orders. Key West Mayor Morgan McPherson telling CNN's Late Edition that those residents have the right to do so, but they take their safety into their own hands. He attributed the low rate of evacuations to the suspense of what Wilma is actually going to do. NASA has closed Kennedy Space Center in Florida and told its 13,000 employees to stay home tomorrow. A probe of the leak of a CIA operative's identity is drawing to a close, and lawyers close to the investigation say it's looking like charges will be made. They believe federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald is laying the groundwork for indictments in that case. Reporters have sometimes asked Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice if she'd like to become president of the U.S. She faced that question from a child at a recent visit to her former elementary school, and she said she didn't want to run for office, and quote, "I like what I'm doing." More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRay.
The following from News Broadcast Network.
In the next 5 to 10 years, labor experts predict a shortage of workers in the United States, a deficit reaching millions and certain to affect businesses across the country. Yet a vast group of talented and well-trained workers remains largely untapped. Adults with disabilities who are currently under or unemployed. James Williams, Jr., President and CEO, Easterseal, says people with disabilities are working to gain new ground in the workforce.
The unemployment rate among adults with disabilities is nearly 12 times the national average, and that's just not acceptable. Given the chance, we know that with appropriate training or accommodations, people with disabilities thrive in the workplace. And companies are realizing that they, too, benefit by hiring people with disabilities, gaining hardworking, capable employees who take great pride in their work. And now it's time for business to invest in people with disabilities.
Visit www.easterseals.com. I'm John Dridden.
I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin. A study from Portland shows that most women who develop cervical cancer from the wart virus eat a diet that's low in vitamin A. A study from the National Cancer Institute shows that smoking may cause the wart virus to form cervical cancer. Several other studies show that infection with the wart virus and a second bacteria such as chlamydia may cause the cancer. Lack of vitamin A may prevent a woman's immunity from killing the wart virus. Smoking increases the body's production of angiogenesis factor that allows cancers to grow. And being infected with both the wart virus and chlamydia may be too much for the body's immunity. For a copy of Report 1514 with all the journal references, go to drmirkin.com. That's drmirkin.com. I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The theme of today's broadcast is watch out when you believe your own lies. This is an administration that everywhere from Iraq to Harriet Myers, from Alaska to the military, this is an administration that has repeatedly lied to the American people. And for a while, they sort of kept it separate. They would lie to us, but they wouldn't believe their own lies. And now that they're starting to believe them, the cracks are being shown. This is an administration that's falling apart. Toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. Let me go back to Amy in Coronado. Amy, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks.
I wanted to see if you had further comment. I sort of went off when you mentioned Reagan. I want to give you a chance to say what you fully wanted to say.
There's just really one more thing I wanted to say, and it's about Jimmy Carter. I think he was really one of the best presidents we ever had. We did have terribly high inflation, but we didn't have somebody like Alan Greenspan manipulating the economy for him to keep that stuff down. He was just doing it all on his own. And the one last thing I want to say about Jimmy Carter, these people that support George Bush go on and on about what a Christian he is, and he's far from it. He doesn't do anything Christian in his life. Jimmy Carter was the best Christian president I think we've ever had, and he walks the walk. Can you imagine any of those other people building houses for homeless people?
Yeah.
Never. Unless it's a photo op, forget it.
You know, people forget that Jimmy Carter was a born-again Christian before born-again Christian became a bad word, because he was someone who really did care about the poor. You know,
he really did.
Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. He was particularly concerned about the poor, about the outcast.
Sure was.
And yet this is an administration that has shown that it hates the poor. In fact, I'm doing an entire show tomorrow on with the question, and I've got a Republican to respond, but the question is, do Republicans hate the poor? And one of the interesting things in the criticism of Harriet Myers that I've heard some religious conservatives say, and again, the right-wing religious conservatives, not all religious people or even all born-again Christians are conservative.
Because I'm a Christian, and I certainly don't believe those things.
But the right-wing, what they're saying about Harriet Myers is watch out for Jimmy Carter. He was a born-again Christian who actually cared about the little guy. We have to be careful to make sure that Harriet Myers isn't a born-again Christian who actually follows what Jesus taught.
We
want a born-again Christian who's more like the money changers in the temple, someone who's cashing in on Americans. That's the one that the religious right wants. And I think you make a very strong point, Amy, and I'm going to be repeating it all along. Just because you're a born-again Christian doesn't mean you have to give up on the poor. In fact, as Jimmy Carter showed us, as Jesus showed us, you should even more care about the poor. Thanks
for
your call.
Sure. Can I say one more thing?
One more thing.
One thing, this is my new slogan. If God was a Republican, he wouldn't have given us Jesus. He would have sold him to us. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for your call, Amy. I appreciate it. Let me go now to Mark in Mendocino. Mark, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. It's Escondido, California, actually.
Oh, excuse me. Escondido. Go ahead.
Yeah, getting back to Reagan, when Saddam gassed the Kurds in the late 80s, there was a muted protest from Reagan. That's about all that we actually did, because we were supporting him in the Iran-Iraq conflict. And the following year, when Bush 1 came in, Jim Baker was Secretary of State, and our response was to ensure $1 billion in loan guarantees to the Iraqi regime. So we were certainly in bed with the Iraqis right up to the point where they invaded Kuwait.
It's a strong point. One thing I would do, though, is distinguish between Ronald Reagan and the administration, which was absolutely in bed with Saddam, and the Senate, the Democrats at that time. In fact, the Senate was controlled by the Democrats. They actually passed a resolution condemning the gassing of the Kurds. And one of the interesting unclassified documents that I've unearthed for this broadcast, and I posted it right there on my blog at RadioInsideScoop.com, is a document that has now been unclassified, where you have Saddam Hussein's son-in-law, closely related to the administration, complaining about the Democratic-run Senate for passing this legislation, because they said Iraq's relations with the United States were improving. In other words, this was Saddam Hussein basically saying, I thought you liked us, America. What is the Senate doing this for? Because he doesn't seem to understand the difference between the Reagan administration, which did like Saddam Hussein, and the Democratic Senate that wasn't nearly as supportive. And I just want to encourage people to check out that original document right there on my website. Anything else you want to say, Mark?
Well, if you fast forward to the mid-90s and take 10 minutes to investigate anything that was done by the new project for the American Century with Wolfowitz and Feith and Cambone and Hadley, they had this Iraqi invasion cooked up 10 years ago. I mean, this was very much from the front burner when they got into the White House in 01 along with Bush. And, I don't know if Bush is smart enough, frankly, to sniff this thing out, to decipher the fact that he's being fed, basically a load of baloney by Cheney and by Rumsfeld. And frankly, I don't think the man is just deep enough. He's not creative enough, not an idea guy. Just not geopolitically sensitive enough, smart enough to actually see that he's being basically led around by the nose. I mean, that's the way that it breaks down for me. I don't know whether the guy even knew the WMD was there or not.
Well, you know, Mark, you bring up a point that's really good and has to do with what Lawrence Wilkerson was saying, Colin Powell's chief of staff, because he basically said exactly what you're saying, that Bush, quote, was not versed in international relations and not too much interested either, unquote. This was a guy, let's be clear, George Bush is not and has never been president of the United States in the sense of a man controlling what's going on. This is a guy who I have for the last 2 years called Prince George. He's got the puppet strings, and he loves being president. This is a guy, he loves playing dress-up, he loves going up on the carrier and saying, hey, look at me, I'm president. He's always reminded me of a 10-year-old who becomes king. If you've studied history, and I love history, and you look at the European kings, there were times when a king would die, and his son was, say, 10 years old, and would become king. And the son would get to sit on the throne and wear the crown and carry the scepter around and prance around and say, look at me, I'm king. But there was always someone in the background, someone like Cardinal Richelieu, who was actually controlling everything. And I've been arguing for 2 years now that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney are the two people in control in the White House. And in fact, later on in this broadcast, I'm going to play a segment from my very first broadcast on the Inside Scoop. I want to show that I said this 2 years ago, that Rove and Cheney were behind a lot of the shenanigans at this White House. So I think it's clear that Bush doesn't really care. He wants to be president. Sure, I mean, I think any kid would love to be president. You know, it'd be great. You get to have, you know, get to fly the great helicopters, and you get people waiting on you day to day. But he's always been content to leave policy matters to people like Cheney and Rumsfeld. And as Wilkerson has pointed out, this Cheney-Rumsfeld cabal has, exactly as you said, Mark, they planned the war in Iraq 10 years ago, and they certainly planned it before 9/11. In fact, there's no question, because of what Paul O'Neill has showed us, former Treasury Secretary, that map, that famous map from January 30th, 2001, 10 days after Bush became president, long before 9/11, where they're dividing Iraq into various oil fields and determining which company should control the oil. Iraq was long planned in advance, and what's surprising, I think, is how long it took America to figure it out. Anything else you want to say?
Well, they figured it out prior to the 04 election, and my curiosity lies in just, you know, how much Rove sold this war to Bush, you know, as being domestically palatable and a winner, you know, as far as, you know, carrying over and winning the election in November 04, which, you know, the fact of the matter is that the electorate was willing to give Bush the benefit of the doubt, you know, in all this Iraqi business, and now they're waking up to the fact that they were sold a bill of goods.
Well, Rove may be evil, but he's not dumb.
I've never argued
that Karl Rove was a dumb man. He is a political genius, and he's Machiavellian. He's willing to do any evil task to lie, to steal, to get America to believe it. And now this is exactly, I think, what's being unraveled with the indictments that I expect to happen next week. I certainly hope will happen to both Karl Rove and Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, is finally shedding the needed spotlight on exactly how they sold us this war. And it's a good thing coming. Hey, Mark, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it. When we come back, I do want to talk about other people who are believing their own lies. Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, who actually threatened to resign if Congress cut out the bridge to 50 people on an Alaskan island and instead used the money to rebuild the bridge over Lake Pontchartrain, which serves a million people in New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina. I don't know why he thinks his 50 people in Alaska are more important than a million in New Orleans. But I want to talk about him and also take more of your calls. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
The legacy of the great communicator lives on in his accomplishments and his spoken word. And now you can own a treasury of the great speeches of Ronald Wilson Reagan on DVD. We're offering 12 memorable speeches from Ronald Reagan's remarkable presidency, starting with his nomination speech all the way to his farewell to the nation in 1988. Included is his memorable speech at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This DVD collection in full color is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his challenge to all Americans. Order the stirring collection of Reagan speeches for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to www.reagancollection.com.
Order online or by mail at the address ReaganCollection.com.
Do you sell dietary supplements?
If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. E. Mord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The theme of this week is watch out when you believe your own lies. The administration and Republicans in general, including the ones that control Congress, have been lying to the American people for many years now. But now the administration is doing what Joe McCarthy made the mistake of doing. They're starting to believe their own lies. It began with Karen Hughes, who claimed Saddam Hussein gassed hundreds of thousands of Kurds. In fact, he gassed about 5,000. He did kill hundreds of thousands. If you say that the people who died in the war with Iran were killed by Saddam, I don't know that Karen Hughes wants to really make that point, though, because then she'd have to argue that George Bush has killed 2,000 Americans, wounded more than 10,000, and killed tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians. Indeed, if you include the fact that Bush should have known about 9/11 enough to prevent it, he killed another 3,000 Americans. I don't think Karen Hughes wants to make that argument. Well, someone else who really shouldn't be making any arguments is Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. Now, this is the guy in charge of appropriations in the Senate, and he is bringing home the pork for his state. In the recent transportation bill, $450 million plus was given out by our taxpayers, you and me, to pay for two Alaskan bridges. One linked an island of 50 people, appropriately called the Bridge to Nowhere, and the other was called Don Young's Way, named after, of course, the other Alaskan congressman. That would be a payment to a nearly deserted port. So these are the two bridges they wanted in Alaska with federal money. I don't know why they couldn't get Alaskan money. But they wanted federal money to go to a nearly deserted port and to an island of 50 people. Well, there was an amendment on the Senate floor to say, you know what, maybe instead of Alaska getting this $500 million or so, maybe it should go to rebuilding the bridge over Lake Pontchartrain, a major highway, an interstate highway, and a toll bridge, in fact, so people are paying for it as well, that goes across the lake that was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. If there's nothing else to help rebuild New Orleans, to rebuild business afterwards, you got to have transportation. That's a very important bridge. Well, Stevens had a tirade. He went on the floor, red-faced and angry, and he said, quote, "I will put the Senate on notice, and I don't kid people, if the Senate decides to discriminate against our state and take money only from our state, I will resign from this body," unquote. Unfortunately, the Senate never called his bluff. But I want you to note how Ted Stevens is starting to believe his own lies. He knows he's a big liar. He knows, in fact, that Alaska gets more federal spending per person than any other state in the United States. More than twice as much, for example, as Nevada or some other states. In fact, Alaskans get almost $2 back for every dollar they spend in taxes. Think about it. For every dollar you spend in taxes, you get $2 back. That's pretty good for Alaska. In the transportation bill, in fact, Alaska, which is the 47th most populous state, was put just behind California and Illinois, two very populous states that have populations 20, 30, 50 times what Alaska has. But, well, unfortunately for them, they're controlled by Democrats, and Republicans want to punish Democrats. So Stevens knows this. He knows that Alaskan taxpayers are screwing the federal taxpayer. He knows that all of us have to pay for Alaska, and he's arguing that the Senate is discriminating against Alaska. Discriminating. Kind of reminds me of some in the religious right wing that say if we can't teach Christianity in our public schools, if we can't teach our particular version of Christianity, if we can't teach our particular religious version that, you know, the earth was created in 6 days and evolution doesn't exist, then you're discriminating against us. Well, folks, Alaska is not being discriminated against. Guess what? Even if the amendment had been adopted, and it wasn't, stripping the Alaskan bridges to pay for the New Orleans bridge, Alaska would still be number one in per capita spending. But what happened to Ted Stevens? He started to believe his own lies. He knew Alaska was more favored than any other state in the United States, and yet he called it discrimination. Kind of reminds me of Clarence Thomas, who said that the attack on him was a high-tech lynching. You know, if you're just going to lie to the American people, keep it quiet. Keep it even. Don't throw a fit. Because when you throw a tantrum, suddenly people start noticing. Bad move, Ted Stevens. Let me go now to Greg from San Diego. Greg, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good.
You know, something you mentioned, you mentioned something earlier on about Saddam Hussein gassing the Kurds.
Yep.
And it's something that sort of bothers me about believing your own lies, because we seem to take that as axiomatic about Saddam Hussein. But the only thing I've ever seen that really addressed that was, you know, Stephen Pelletier, I guess, is from the Defense Intelligence Agency, wrote in the New York Times in 2003, he said, you know, that it seems to me the president has repeated this, and it has to do with the events in Halabja in 1988.
That's right.
Yet he says as near as the Defense Intelligence Agency could tell, is that the kind of gas that killed the Kurds appears to be a cyanide-based gas that the Iranians used, and this, in fact, did occur right in the midst of the war while the Iranians and the Iraqis were both using chemical bombs. And really to say that it, you know, Saddam Hussein intentionally went out and gassed his own people is, you know, it's kind of an overstatement, but that statement has just gained the sort of momentum that it's just treated as a truism now. And
Greg,
and,
you make a good point.
We have to be just very vigilant all the time with this kind of material.
Greg, you make a good point. There's no question that it was a vicious war, that both Iran and Iraq were using chemical weapons, mostly on each other. Iraq was mostly gassing Iranians, and Iranians gassing Iraqis. I mean, you can argue that in World War I, we were gassing people with mustard gas, and the Germans were gassing us. That is the awful nature of some of this warfare. And it's interesting. We will find out, I guess, with the trial of Saddam Hussein, exactly what happened. And one of the things that I found interesting was in the trial, and one of my listeners, in fact, Robert, pointed out on this on the blog, guess what? In the trial, they're not charging him with gassing the Kurds, at least not yet. They're charging him with the arrest of 1,500 people in retaliation for assassination attempt and killing more than 140 people in another incident. But the big incident mentioned by the Bush administration, they're not talking about. Very interesting. Stay on the line with me, Greg. We'll be right back after this.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated, the birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The theme for this broadcast is watch out when you believe your own lies. The administration has been telling us for years now that Saddam Hussein is an evil, evil dictator, that he had torture rooms, that he gassed his own people. And there's no question that to some extent it's true. He did have torture rooms, but then the administration defends torture when we do it in the very same rooms that Saddam Hussein used, or when our new government, our new Iraqi government, which we support, does the same torture in the same rooms. The same may be true for the gassing. Remember, it was our government, the United States of America, that allowed U.S. companies to sell anthrax, sarin gas, the same kind of stuff that's being used in terrorist attacks around the world, to Iraq. My caller, Greg, points out that it may be the case that Saddam Hussein didn't gas the Kurds in Halabja. Let me just give you the facts on that, because I agree it's an open question. Halabja is right on the border, about 10 miles from the Iranian border, and it was under Iranian control at the time that Iraqi troops dropped the poison gas. So it's very unclear. It was the middle of a war. You could argue, in fact, they were attacking Iran at the time, since it was under Iranian control. And there may be some Iranian involvement. It clearly happened in the middle of a war. It was not, as I've heard some people on the right call it, genocide, where Saddam was trying to kill every Kurdish person. He wasn't good to the Kurds, don't get me wrong. He destroyed Kurdish culture. He, in fact, mass-moved many Kurds from their homeland down south, because there's a lot of oil up there in Kurdistan. I don't mean to defend Saddam Hussein at all, but what I do mean to say is that when the trial of Saddam Hussein comes out, I think Americans are going to be surprised by how much aid our government was giving to Saddam Hussein at the time. Greg, you got some more points to make.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that, the only authoritative story I've seen on the Halabja event says that the Kurds died from a cyanide gas that supposedly was Iranian, and I think it'd be very interesting to find out where the heck the Iranians got their cyanide gas, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they also got their very stock of chemical weapons from the United States back when the Shah was in power.
Exactly. After all, we aided the Shah, even taught his Savak how to torture people for decades. It's amazing. I mean, we helped Osama bin Laden, too. I mean, all these bad guys, Noriega, every one of them, it seems, started with us helping them. Anyway, go ahead. Make your point.
I don't mean to hijack this on this point, but I would just like to point out one thing about with regard to this Supreme Court nomination. I called you a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned that it seemed to me like we might be seeing a religious test being foisted with regard to the Myers nomination.
Right.
You know, and it seems like Dobson is sort of backtracking on what he said in the last couple of weeks. I think it's incumbent upon all of us. We need to start contacting the senators in the Judiciary Committee and tell them, you really need to get Dobson in front of that committee.
Absolutely.
We need to put him under oath.
We got to put him under oath. James Dobson, of course, is the right-wing religious leader who said that Harriet Myers has told me things that I can't divulge to the American public. I know more about the next Supreme Court justice than you, the American people, are allowed. And wink, wink, nod, nod, she's okay with me. It is perfectly fair to take Dobson, raise his right hand under oath, to tell us what he found out about Harriet Myers, who he found out from, was it someone in the administration, and if he lies, put him in jail for perjury. You're absolutely right, Greg. The Democrats need to insist on it. It's a very strong point. Thank you very much for your call. We've got an hour to go. Thank you. We got an hour to go, folks. When we come back, I got a lot more to discuss. I'm going to talk more about Harriet Myers and talk more about this administration, which is starting to believe its own lies. And you find it, well, in one sense, you find it with Karen Hughes and Saddam, but you also find it with the Cheney-Rumsfeld cabal that planned the war in Iraq. And when I come back in the next hour, I'm going to play from you from the very first Inside Scoop where, all right, got to give myself credit, I predicted a lot of this stuff. Toll free, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Hi. LOL.
Probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Jack DeRate reporting.
Motion was about 8 miles per hour towards the northeast earlier today. We think it's up to about 12 miles per hour now, so the acceleration is occurring.
Hurricane Wilma is gaining speed. National Hurricane Center Deputy Director Ed Rappaport. The worst of Wilma is expected to strike Florida's southwestern coast. The National Hurricane Center says it's a Category 2 hurricane with maximum wind speeds of 100 miles an hour. Florida officials are warning residents in the southwestern part of the state to finalize their preparations ahead of the big hurricane. The storm is due to make landfall early tomorrow and could bring a storm surge of up to 13 feet.
Greatest concern is going to be for the wind and the storm surge that drives ashore. Still talking about a storm surge along the southwest coast of Florida from 8 to 13 feet, with the Florida Keys getting 5 to 8 feet of surge. And, of course, we're going to have waves on top of that.
Meantime, Florida Governor Jeb Bush calling on residents to follow the advice of their local officials and to take seriously the danger posed by the storm. Governor Bush saying there is an adequate supply of fuel for everyone, but he urged residents to remain patient as spot outages occur in southwest Florida. Forecasters saying Wilma could strengthen from its current Category 2 status to a Category 3 hurricane by the time it reaches southwestern Florida. Some saying that is likely to happen. USA Radio Network News.
I'm David Orrick. Our headquarters is in New Orleans. Our factory is in Mississippi. I'm 82 years old, and I've never seen anything to compare to what's happened here on the Gulf Coast. Please, everybody, donate to the hurricane relief effort, and if you call me to order an Orrick vacuum, we'll donate one in your name to folks who are trying to rebuild their lives. Call 888-843-5645, 888-843-5645, or visit orrick.com/relief. Thank you.
Has the rising cost of health insurance left you without protection? Effective immediately, for as little as $139 a month, you're eligible for a Quality Association health plan that can drastically reduce the cost of doctor visits, hospital stays, accident coverage, emergency rooms, even a vision and dental plan. You can't be denied. Join today and use your doctor, dental, and prescription benefits immediately. All ages accepted. Call 800-613-9304. That's 800-613-9304.
Not available in all states.
Cancun, Mexico, barely recognizable as a popular tourist destination after Hurricane Wilma devastated the Yucatan Peninsula. Some areas of Cancun have waist-deep floodwaters, while strong winds have left streets filled with debris. Along with high floodwaters, trees have been toppled, power lines have collapsed, and vehicles are submerged. The deaths of at least six people in the Yucatan are being blamed on the hurricane. A Texas senator believes U.S. Supreme Court Justice nominee Harriet Myers should be approved because, in part, of her diverse nature. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Kay Bailey Hutchison saying Myers will fill a role that is not presently on the court.
When you look at the background of all the other justices, every one of them has served on a circuit court of appeals. She would be the only one whose entire career up until now has been in the private practice.
Hutchison saying the Supreme Court examines cases dealing with eminent domain, property rights, and taxation, and a person with real-world experience will help the court look at those topics. USA Radio Network News.
New York Times best-selling author Beverly Lewis offers you an insider's look into the Amish world. The Preacher's Daughter is the first in a captivating new series, Annie's People, and introduces an Amish community in Paradise, Pennsylvania. It's a heavenly-sounding place, but it's one that's seen its share of heartache and mystery. Don't miss The Preacher's Daughter by Beverly Lewis. It's the Beverly Lewis book fans have been waiting for. Ask for The Preacher's Daughter at your favorite bookstore today.
A student and a member of the basketball team at the University of Minnesota Morris is dead after being hit by a falling goalpost during a post-game celebration. 20-year-old Rick Rose of Benton City, Washington, died at a hospital after failed attempts to revive him at Cougar Field. In 2001, the Surgeon General issued the 10,000 steps a day recommendation to help Americans manage their weight and get into better shape. For some, that goal seemed unrealistic. But according to Dr. Bill Krause with Duke University Medical Center, normal daily activities already typically account for several thousand steps. Combine this with a consistent program of moderate exercise, and 10,000 steps is a very attainable goal.
I think one could calculate that it's approximately 5 miles a day or 30 miles a week of physical activity, and one would be surprised in wearing a pedometer how quickly one can achieve the 10,000 steps.
More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate reporting on the USA Radio Network.
What some people are saying about your morning with Jim Harrington and friends.
Hello, good morning. How are you? It's your old pal, Porky, and you're listening to your forget it.
Everybody's a ham. Your morning with Jim Harrington and friends, Monday through Friday, right here.
Your morning, 6 to 10 Eastern Time on the Talkstar Radio Network.
Why can't I get a monkey? Why can't you catch a whale with a worm?
Dad, can we go to the moon on vacation?
If you think it's tough answering these questions, imagine the ones you'll get if your child is diagnosed with cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the Talkstar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the Talkstar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at talkstarradio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at talkstarradio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Inside Scoop. The theme this Sunday is don't believe your own lies. This administration is getting in trouble from believing their own lies, and nowhere is that more clear than in the Traitorgate investigation. The investigation into what was going on behind the scenes when the administration tried to take down Ambassador Joe Wilson? Let's recall the facts. Ambassador Joe Wilson was sent by the CIA at Dick Cheney's request. Vice President Dick Cheney had heard that perhaps Iraq was trying to get aluminum tubes for nuclear weapons from Niger, the country of Niger in Africa. So we asked the CIA to look into it. The CIA decided to use Ambassador Joe Wilson, who had strong ties down there, to check it out. He comes back. He finds the entire thing is a forgery. He tells the administration. They do nothing about it. They not only do nothing about it, but the Bush administration lies to the American public in the State of the Union speech and tells everyone, in fact, that Saddam Hussein was getting those aluminum tubes. They blame it on the British, but the effect is clear. They use words in what the Republicans would call a Clinton-esque fashion, but to try to convince Americans that Saddam Hussein was a nuclear threat to the United States of America. So Wilson, not able to get anything from the administration, goes public. And then, well, then revenge begins. They decide to out his wife, Valerie Plame Wilson, as a CIA agent. Rove and Scooter Libby, we know, were involved in this. But I think that Scooter Libby, by the way, is the chief of staff for Vice President Dick Cheney. But I think that it will show that Vice President Cheney was involved. The Attorney General, the Special Prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, is, I think, set to prove not just that Rove and Scooter Libby were involved, but that Dick Cheney was involved, and quite possibly the President of the United States was involved, that George Bush knew. And the question will be, what did the President know and when did he know it? And even more important will be the question of, did he believe his own lies? Let me explain. In the Watergate era, I don't know, I still don't know, maybe someone knows, if Nixon ordered the burglary of Democratic National Committee headquarters. I don't think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think historically it has been proven that Richard Nixon ordered that break-in. But what we do know is Nixon knew about it after it occurred and tried to cover it up. And tried to cover it up through lies, through hush money, through all kinds of things. And what brought down Richard Nixon was not the break-in, but the cover-up. Now, what do we know? We know that Patrick Fitzgerald, right after getting into the investigation, he was appointed, remember, because Attorney General Ashcroft had to recuse himself since it was an investigation of the highest administration officials. He was appointed and he asked Deputy Attorney General James Comey if he could investigate and prosecute perjury, obstruction of justice, destruction of evidence, and intimidation of witnesses done by people trying to obstruct Fitzgerald's investigation. Now, that may seem obvious to you. Obviously, Fitzgerald should be able to prosecute people trying to obstruct his own investigation. But the fact that he asked specifically for that authority early on and got it shows that whether or not it's ever proven that someone intentionally outed Valerie Plame Wilson as a CIA agent, which may be tough to prove, we have a much stronger case for obstruction of justice. Let's not forget, Scott McClellan, press secretary for George Bush, denied to the press, said that he talked personally with Karl Rove, with Scooter Libby, and both of them looked him in the eye and told him personally they had zero connection with anything related to Valerie Plame Wilson. Now, he lied to the American people. And I think it's pretty clear that they lied to Scott McClellan. Because when Scott McClellan, you know, doesn't want to tell the truth, he hems and haws and evades the subject and says it's an investigation. But he rarely does an out-and-out lie. And I think he did an out-and-out lie because the president knew about it. And here's the evidence. If George Bush didn't know about Traitorgate, wouldn't he have fired these people who lied to him? I think we're going to find out that George Bush chewed them out. And then he would have had to have lied to the special prosecutor, right? He would have had to have lied to the special prosecutor. And if so, well, we may have impeachment around the corner, step by step, inch by inch. That, remember, October 28th. Is not long away. It's just next Friday. That is when the grand jury closes in this investigation. That's when indictments will go out. I don't think they'll go out for the president and vice president, but if they go out for Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, they're going to come down eventually, I think, on the highest levels of this administration, including the president and vice president. And what I'm going to play later on in this hour is tape from my very first broadcast here on the Inside Scoop, where I discuss my belief that Cheney and Rove are behind the manufacture of this war, behind the selling of this war, the war with Iraq, behind the selling of weapons of mass destruction. I said this 2 years ago. I don't mean to crow, but I want to play that for you. And if you want to call in, I know there's some callers holding on. I promise I'll get to you right after the break. It's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. I'm going to play some of the very first Inside Scoop. And I'm going to talk about other people in the administration and even in the Catholic Church who are making the mistake of believing their own lies. And when you do that, my friends, you get caught. We'll be right back after this.
They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30, 50, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround. And this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, dental.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid, but mostly we're focusing on the problem of people in power when they start to believe their own lies. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I'm going to go now to KC in San Luis Obispo, California. KC, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
How are you doing, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a question, and then I had a comment, if I may.
Sure.
The first one is, you made a reference to a picture in January 2001 of them pointing out how they're going to break up the Iraq oil fields and things like that.
Yes.
And I was wondering, where can we find that at?
You can find it in Ron Suskind's book, The Price of Loyalty. It's in the appendix of that book. It may be on the web as well. I'd have to look for it. But I have the book. And basically, Paul O'Neill was the former Treasury Secretary. He was George Bush's Treasury Secretary, obviously a Republican, was there for 2 years. And he got upset, and they can argue about whether he resigned or was fired. But in his book, which is the book is by Paul by Ron Suskind, but it's all about Paul O'Neill, called The Price of Loyalty. And it's in the appendix there. In fact, that map was so controversial because the people in the administration originally accused him of stealing the map, and they were going to punish him for disclosing this classified material until Paul O'Neill's lawyer pointed out that he had written permission to use the map, which may have been a mistake from the administration. But that map is there. It's right there. No one disputes its accuracy. And you can probably find it on the Internet as well if you look hard enough. I would look up Paul O'Neill, Price of Loyalty, January 30, map, Iraq oil fields, and Google and see what you find.
Roger, that's right. Now, the other thing is I went to the New American Century that you had suggested for us to go to look at, and I'm looking at why Iraq's Sunnis won't deal. In the closing paragraph, And folks can look this up, of course. It says, "Politics cannot solve what ails Iraq now," which I thought is a real powerful opening statement there. It can help, and certainly the Constitution is an important step in that direction. But at the end of the day, it's only when the so-called dead-enders are either dead or vanquished. And that, to me, is just a powerful statement as far as what this administration is doing.
And, I'm not sure. I want to be clear, because I'm not sure I'm understanding. Who are the dead-enders, in your view?
The dead-enders are probably folks who are not cooperating with the U.S.
You're talking about in Iraq,
the
Sunnis,
correct.
That are... Okay, so I just want to understand your point, KC.
Sure,
you're saying that I'm not sure what you're saying. You're saying we should still be there, we shouldn't be there, that the...
I have to be careful what I say here because I'm military.
Okay.
I don't think we should be there. There's a lot of issues that are going on right now. Pipelines being blown up.
Right.
A lot of things that do not make your local news anymore.
Right.
And folks do not understand that.
Yeah.
And I think, again, as Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice have both said, that this is going to be a generational war. And generational, by definition, is going to be 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. The military tells us that when the generals are asked under oath in congressional hearings on the matter, they tell the truth. They say, you know, that this can take – the earliest I've seen is 9 years. Most say, as you said, KC, it could take 15 to 20 years. That's not what – the leadership of our government is saying. I mean,
right.
Dick Cheney says they're in their last throes. You know, George Bush, 2 months after the war began, says mission accomplished. And it's interesting because it's just another example of my whole theme, this broadcast, which is people believing their own lies. I don't know whether Cheney actually believed Paul Wolfowitz when he said that people were going to throw rose petals in the streets of Iraq when we came in there. I don't know that he actually believed it. But he sure acted like he believed his own lie.
I think, as somebody from looking at a different direction, I think he wanted to believe that.
Yeah.
And
well,
he deep down hoped that was the case. I don't think he was expecting what he got into.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the problem. That's why people start to believe their own lies. They want their own lies to be true so much that they actually start believing them. The clearest case, of course, is with the manipulation of intelligence preceding the war with Iraq. And that's, in
correct.
Fact, when I come back from break, I'm going to play my very first broadcast where I talked
right.
about this 2.5 years ago. Today it's sort of common knowledge that what the administration would do is cherry-pick intelligence. Actually, there'd be all this intelligence coming in. Virtually none of it would show Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. But there'd be this suggestion here by someone who, you know, hadn't been to Iraq in 6 years, and this possibility here by someone who was a known liar. And by cherry-picking these tiny little bits and pieces and putting together a case that would be laughed out of court, and indeed Colin Powell, in fact, refused to use most of this stuff, and even the stuff he did use, he's now, in fact, apologized, said that the worst thing he ever did was that speech before the United Nations, where he claimed, so I reported this back 2 years ago, but what we're finding is that they sold this, like as Andrew Card said, you have to sell a new product, you can't sell it in August. They sold it as a new product out in September, and then what happens is people start to actually believe it. Maybe even George Bush, who's not the brightest light in the universe, started to believe what Karl Rove and Dick Cheney were feeding him. And then when they begin to believe their own lies, for example, if you actually believe they're going to greet you with rose petals, then you're not going to supply your troops with the body armor they need. Then you're not going to have enough troops to pacify the country. Then you're not going to understand that the country really is just three people, Sunni, Shiites, and Kurds, thrown together by the British a century ago that maybe shouldn't even be part of the same country. If you believe in this simplistic thing that they sold us, then that may explain why they were so incompetent in prosecuting this war.
It could be, sir. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate your time, KC. When we come back, I'm going to take more of your calls at 877-528-TALK. And then coming up, as promised, I'm going to play for you from my very first broadcast on June 22nd, 2003, 3 weeks before Bob Novak exposed Valerie Plame, my take on what would later become Traitorgate. Back with all of that and your calls right after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. E. Mord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com. Go to www.HealthStarProducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The theme of this broadcast is watch out for an administration, or anyone in power, in fact, who starts to believe their own lies. Lawrence Wilkerson, the chief of staff for former Secretary of State Colin Powell, has come clean about how dysfunctional this administration has been. In fact, as I did report at the time as an Inside Scoop, it's now widely known that the rift between Vice President Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld on one side and Colin Powell on the other was no mere policy disagreement. It was all-out bureaucratic war. And as the administration gave its lie after lie to the American public, Powell tried ineffectively to prevent them from doing some of those lies, and to some extent he was tricked as well. And the Cheney-Rumsfeld cabal, as he put it, flummoxed the system. When asked, Wilkerson was asked, who's causing this? You know, how is this happening? Why is it being allowed to occur? He offered an interesting answer, and I quote from Lawrence Wilkerson, quote, the National Security Advisor, let's recall who that was. That was Condoleezza Rice. The National Security Advisor made a calculated decision to build her intimacy with the president, he said, rather than, in effect, to do her job. That she felt it was more important to be close to the president, right? Harriet Myers has learned this. It's more important to be loyal to the president than to be loyal to the American people, to be loyal to the United States of America. And Colin Powell, I don't know whether to give him credit or not. You know, it's, you know, what do you do when you've got a relatively decent guy serving an evil system? I don't know. I mean, I have to give him credit. He was nowhere near as bad as the other people in the Bush administration. He tried to fight within to get some truth out. He didn't leave. He didn't resign and say, you know, I'm resigning because of all this stuff. But he argues, you know, he could do more good inside rather than outside. You know, Robert McNamara made the same argument in the Vietnam War, serving the Johnson administration. But what I want to point out is that this discussion of the manipulation of intelligence, this discussion specifically of the aluminum tubes in Niger, was coming out even before Bob Novak's article. Most of the people who focused on Tradergate have focused on the July 14, 2003 article by Bob Novak, where he outs Valerie Plame Wilson, wife of Joe Wilson, as part of a clear apparent attempt at revenge against Joe Wilson for exposing the truth. But I got to point out, I got to brag a little. I was going through some old files. I want to play for you right now from the very first Inside Scoop. This was broadcast on June 22nd, 2003, when I was only on one radio station, suburban radio station, WAGE in Washington, D.C. I want to play for you what I said at that time about the aluminum tubes in Niger. Listen in.
And I want to see if you can answer that. You should also know what happened before the war with Iraq. Now, we had the CIA saying that there were no serious threats from Iraq, that Iraq didn't have nuclear weapons, that a that there was a report that they were getting aluminum tubes in Nigeria, and the report was clearly forged. And, in fact, they brought all this to the Bush administration, and the Bush administration set up, again, a separate intelligence unit called the Defense Policy Board in the Pentagon. And the job of the Defense Policy Board was to give separate intelligence from the CIA. I'm not condemning the CIA here. I think they're giving accurate intelligence. What we have is at the highest levels, administration officials not listening to intelligence. Why? Well, they must have another agenda because they're not listening to the intelligence that is being put out. And with the aluminum tubes in Nigeria, it was embarrassing because the United Nations figured out it was a forgery. I mean, there was a reference to the Nigerian Constitution in 1999 that said it went back to 1965, where the Constitution was only made in 1999. It was a clear forgery. In fact, a lot of this information went to Colin Powell, and he called it bull crap. He didn't use the word crap, but I can't say what he used on the air. He knew the information was flawed. But these organizations set up by the Bush administration didn't give me no bad news, right? They gave only the information that Bush wanted to hear.
Well, that's what I said at the time. Now, that's more than 2 years ago. This is, remember, 3 weeks before Novak's famous article. And I did get a detail wrong. I should come clean here. I said it was Nigeria. It was Niger. At the time when I was just learning this information, I must admit I didn't focus on the difference between Nigeria and Niger. I apologize for that. I did correct it later on. But the point was clear. And I exposed it on the Inside Scoop 2 years ago, 3 weeks before Bob Novak. And it was an administration that knew that the information coming out of Niger was false and was manipulating the intelligence, was not disclosing to the American people, was using a separate agency, the Defense Policy Board, to not listen to the CIA, to ignore what the CIA had to say, that Iraq wasn't that great a threat. And instead, Dick Cheney and George Bush were manipulating the information for the American people to sell the war in Iraq. And when we come back, I will take your calls at 877-528-TALK. And I'm going to play one more part from my very first broadcast, June 22nd, 2003, where a questioner asked me, who do I think is in charge? Who is controlling this administration? And you may or may not be surprised to hear what I have to say 2.5 years ago. We'll be right back. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be back after this.
This is Newsbreak. Hurricane Wilma is on the move in the direction of Florida after leaving a path of destruction in Cancun and Cozumel, Mexico. National Hurricane Center Director Max Mayfield saying Wilma's maximum sustained winds at 105 miles per hour, making it a Category 2 hurricane. He said some strengthening is possible before it makes landfall early Monday morning, possibly as a Category 3 hurricane. The mayor of Florida's Miami-Dade County is urging his constituents to protect themselves from Hurricane Wilma. During a press conference, Mayor Carlos Alvarez stressing that the county has issued a mandatory evacuation order for people in mobile homes. The Nigerian Red Cross says there are no signs of survivors after an airliner carrying more than 100 people crashed after taking off from Lagos last night. A Red Cross official saying the wreckage is still burning and there's no trace of anyone living through the crash. The Houston Astros looking to even the score tonight's second game of the World Series. The White Sox won last night's opener by a score of 5-3. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
Has the rising cost of health insurance left you and your family without coverage? Do you fear large medical bills could ruin you financially? You're not alone. Effective immediately for as little as $139 a month, you're eligible for a Quality Association health plan that can drastically reduce the cost of doctor visits, hospital stays, accident coverage, emergency rooms, even vision and dental. Plus, a powerful prescription plan with deep discounts on name brand and generic drugs. Pre-existing conditions accepted for all ages. You can't be denied. Call National Way Healthcare Association now. For more information, call 800-613-9304.
I'm self-employed. I broke my arm. It cost $1,800. With my plan, I paid just $100.
I can have a qualified physician evaluate my health records, ask questions, and prescribe medicine over the phone.
Join today and use your doctor and prescription benefits immediately. You can't be denied. Call 800-613-9304. That's 800-613-9304.
Not available in all states.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
More people than ever are at risk of developing diabetes. 18 million Americans have this condition, which upsets the body's regulation of blood sugar. It can lead to serious complications such as heart disease, kidney failure, and blindness. Now, after reviewing recent research on who develops diabetes, the levels that signal pre-diabetes have been lowered to between 100 and 125 milligrams for fasting blood sugar. That means 41 million Americans are now considered pre-diabetic. Those who fall into this category can still avoid developing diabetes in many cases by losing weight and exercising regularly. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The focus today is the administration not just lying to the American public, that's old news, but actually believing their own lies and getting in trouble because of it. The clear example, of course, is Tradergate, is the indictment that I expect to come out, and I'll be very disappointed if it doesn't, against Karl Rove and Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, before the grand jury closes its doors this Friday. I expect it to come out. I admit that Peter Fitzgerald doesn't leak to me. I don't have an inside scoop into his investigation. But based on the tea leaves I've read, there will be indictments. And it's interesting because it's great because not only are the people being caught in their own lies to the American public, but also their lies to the special prosecutor and their lies to justice investigators early on in the process. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. The lines are open. Or you can comment on the blog by posting a comment at www.radioinsidescoop.com. And I've got a really terrific comment on the blog that was just made by an author who calls himself Get the Traitors of Tradergate. He makes a very astute point. He writes, "When Rove made his curt denials of having any part in Tradergate, it was thought the case was to be handled by Ashcroft and the Department of Justice. Perhaps the administration thought they had a free ride. Little did they know then that the case would later be handed over to Special Prosecutor Fitzgerald. Perhaps that's one mistake that will bite the traitors in their collective butts." I got to tell you, that's a strong point and a very important one. They may have lied before because they didn't realize that it would be taken as an independent investigation. Remember, this is an administration that hates independent investigations. They really fought against one for 9/11, still refuse to have one into the intelligence used for the war in Iraq. Indeed, still refuse to have even an independent investigation as to what happened as to Hurricane Katrina. So they hate independent investigations. They don't expect independent investigations. And I think, you're absolutely right, the person who wrote on the blog. I think you're absolutely right that they didn't expect it, they lied, and they're about to get caught in those lies. Let me go to the phones now. We've got Joe from San Diego. Joe, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, appreciate the show. You were talking about a pattern of lies and believing their own lies. Last weekend, Condoleezza Rice went on the national press and said, well, the real reason we did this was because after 9/11, we decided we had to, in order to protect ourselves, remake the entire Middle East, as opposed to weapons of mass destruction, which was the lie they told us.
Right. So, and we know that's a lie because
of a greater lie than any other they've told the American public in a series of oh my God, it's ridiculous to think about how many lies they've told us.
Yeah, Joe, I don't know which is
Clean Air Act, everything else.
Yeah, I don't know which is a greater lie. It's very hard to judge that. I mean, I think, you know, implying that Iraq was going to come nuke us if we didn't attack them, that may be the greatest lie. But you're right, it's a pretty severe lie, and it relates back to what Lawrence Wilkerson, Colin Powell's chief of staff, said, which is that the National Security Advisor made a calculated decision to build her intimacy with the president rather than do her job. And that's exactly right. She has been promoted because she lied to the American people, because George Bush has made clear that if you're loyal to him and you lie to the American people, you get promoted. If you tell the truth to the American people, as Colin Powell did, Paul O'Neill did, Richard Clark did, you're going to be fired. Don't do your job. Lie and be loyal. And you're absolutely right. She's continuing to do exactly that. And the clearest evidence that she's lying is what we talked earlier in the broadcast, the map of January 30, 2001, where they divide the Iraqi oil fields. It's a strong point.
It seems to me that if there was, I mean, in a series of impeachable offenses, this is probably, I mean, the idea that the President of the United States can get up and lie to the entire nation about something,
right?
That if it's not impeachable, then there's something terribly wrong.
Well, what's really shocking is that these are the same Republicans who argued that Clinton lying about an extramarital affair was an impeachable offense. You know?
Yeah, then you have Ann Richards today going on saying, well, but if it's something like just perjury, then we shouldn't really worry about it.
Right. You know, if you're lying to protect, you don't want to tell your wife that you're having a sexual relationship, you know, that's a serious lie. That's impeachable. But if you're just lying about nuclear war that causes thousands of Americans to die and hundreds of billions of dollars to be wasted and a whole world to hate us and tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians to be killed, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. An extramarital affair is a much bigger deal, I guess.
So where are the Democrats? Why is this larger point not being made?
And I'm here, Joe.
Other subsequent points being made.
I'm here, Joe. I'm here.
I hear you. Thank God.
You know, they're not all quiet. You're from San Diego. One of my favorite Democrats in the Senate is Barbara Boxer. I think she's been pretty loud. You know, I agree with you that part of the problem is that you don't have a big microphone in Congress when you're not in the majority party. One of the reasons I'm on the radio and not still working in Congress is because it's very frustrating working for the minority party. We would hold press conferences and no one would show up. I mean, it's embarrassing to admit that, but it happens to be true. Some Democrats are trying, some aren't. I agree with you, though. I'll be the first to tell you. I think the Democrats need to take a page out of Newt Gingrich's book in 1994. They need a contract with America. We'll call it something different. We'll call it a pledge with America or some other different words. But everyone will know what it is. Where the Democrats make it very clear exactly the policies they will defend. They need to talk about bringing honesty and integrity back to the administration. And the country will recognize that that's exactly the same language that Bush used, but he didn't do it. And I think they need to definitely go on the attack. I don't know. Maybe Joe, I'll run for something someday.
They have so much ammunition that they can hammer away with.
Yeah.
At the same time, presenting alternatives, viable alternatives, things that are actually going to make this country fulfill the potential that it's inherent in it.
Yeah.
That if they just get out there and start hammering.
Well, it's hard. I'll tell you. You know, sometimes they're not doing it, and sometimes the press isn't covering it. And you got to remember, we do. For all the talk about a liberal press, the reason you hear that talk is because we have a right-wing press. I mean, if we had a liberal press, people would complain about a conservative press. The reason you keep hearing liberal press all the time is because, you know, Sinclair Broadcasting owns about a third of television stations. You have Gannett buying up. You have, Rupert Murdoch buying up. And so all these stations are being controlled by conglomerates. And it's very hard to get independent voices out there. It's very hard. I mean, I'll agree with you. The Democrats can do more. So I don't mean to say that they can't. I think they can. But I also think we need to encourage the press to cover some of these things that they're just not covering.
Well, keep hammering.
Thanks,
I
Joe.
I appreciate it, and there are a lot of us who do.
I appreciate your call. Let me go now to Gordon in Michigan. Gordon, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. I don't know. Have you made the point yet that Rove and the press secretary and a lot of the administration officials made their denials of their roles in Traitorgate with the idea that this case was going to be handled by Ashcroft?
I just made that point.
And when this case was handed over to Fitzgerald, don't you think they've been secretly sweating bullets about this?
I think so. It's a solid point. I think you were probably the poster on the weblog, and I read your point, and it's a solid one. It's very important. They lied when they didn't think they'd get caught, and now that they are getting caught, I think they're definitely sweating bullets. I think Karl Rove has lost a lot of weight in the past few days, and I sure hope we get an indictment come Friday.
I think it's sweet justice for those masters of webs of lies.
And I think what's interesting is it's not going to stop at Rove and Libby. I think it's clearly going to get Dick Cheney. And whether it gets Bush or not, well, time will tell. But if we get a Democratic Congress, I think you can do the investigations that can lead to taking down some of the high people in the administration.
Well, I've heard that at least Rove and Livia are going to be indicted, and I've heard that there's going to be a string of other little indictments possibly. Do you have any handle on that?
Well, I think that there are a number of people. I mean, you look at the people in the administration that people like Stephen Hadley, for example, who worked for Condoleezza Rice, who's been a good purveyor of lies. I don't know all the people that, again, Peter Fitzgerald plays his cards close to the vest, as he should, but I do think Rove and Libby are going down, and I think that those aren't Fitzgerald's ultimate targets. I think his target really is Vice President Dick Cheney, which would be a major, major coup.
And who else was on Air Force One when possibly this info was being...
Oh, lots of people. That's a good point, Gordon. There was, of course, a State Department memo, interestingly enough, ordered by Colin Powell, though I don't think he had any role in this, because they wanted to find out, basically, originally, if what Wilson said was true or not. And so they were checking into him, as they have every right to do. And you're right, there was a memo passed around on Air Force One that pointed out that his wife was a covert agent working in the Weapons of Mass Destruction Department in the CIA. And I guarantee you Fitzgerald is on that. We'll find out. I mean, I don't know your answer, Gordon, but we will find out, I think, next week. And I guarantee I'll report it here on the Inside Scoop. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
When we come back, I'm going to play another broadcast, turning into the old broadcast of Sunday, January 22nd, 2003, my very first broadcast on air, when I was asked who I felt was in control of this administration. And you may or may not be surprised to hear my answers. But we'll be coming up with that right after these messages.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of their debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-936-1264, 800-936-1264. For your free information, call now, 800-936-1264, 800-936-1264.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. E. Mord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Today's focus is people believing their own lies. And we're getting a lot of information about people, the true believers believing their own lies, and the tellers of those lies. We have Lawrence Wilkerson, the chief of staff to Colin Powell, talking about Cheney manipulating the system, lying to everyone, setting up a cabal in the White House to manipulate intelligence. And, of course, we've got Tradergate. We've got the special prosecutor, Peter Fitzgerald, coming out and pointing out that Karl Rove and Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, were out there trying to manipulate the public, trying to tell to out Joe Wilson's wife as a CIA agent in order to get revenge on Wilson for telling us the truth that there were no nuclear threats from Iraq. Well, All this discussion of Dick Cheney and Karl Rove, today it seems common knowledge that they're the people in control of the White House, but their names were hardly mentioned 2.5 years ago when I first went on the air. A lot of people didn't know who Karl Rove was, and they probably couldn't tell you who the vice president was as well. And so, I got to brag a little. I want to show you when I was asked that question on my very first broadcast, June 22nd, 2003, how I answer the question of who's in charge at the White House. Let's listen in.
Yeah. One of the liberal critiques of Bush is that he's, you know, not a very competent man, not all that bright, and I'm wondering whether you think he's sort of personally responsible for a lot of the clever obfuscation that you find, or whether you think it's some of his underlings.
That's a good.
Well,
that's a good question. I think actually Karl Rove, and actually there's a good book out called The President's Brain. It's a story about Karl Rove. And I think that he's doing a lot of what's going on here. In fact, John DiIulio, formerly of the president's faith-based office, has come out and said that it's all done for politics here, and Karl Rove is controlling the show. I also think that Dick Cheney has a lot to do with this. If you read all of the articles that are coming out about the conflicts between the accurate intelligence information coming out from the CIA and then the reports that were declassified that were not accurate, you find intelligence analysts complaining. And they're complaining about Dick Cheney. He would do things that really no vice president did before. He would actually walk in to the CIA's Langley headquarters and talk to the low-ranking analysts about what intelligence that they should put in their reports. In fact, one former CIA official said, quote, "That would freak people out. It's supposed to be an ivory tower, and that kind of pressure would be enormous on these young guys." So I don't know whether it's George Bush or not. I have to think that he has some idea of what's going on. But, you know, I don't know. My guess is it's Karl Rove that did the photo op on the plane, and it's probably Dick Cheney that's behind a lot of these things. You know, Dick Cheney has his former company, Halliburton, has done very well from the Bush administration. They got quite a nice program to fix Iraqi oil fields, and I got to tell you, that wasn't from competitive bidding. So Cheney has his own interests here, and I think he may be the one who's doing much of this.
Well, that was me, June 22nd, 2003, so I've been nothing if not consistent that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney are the powers behind the throne, the Cardinal Richelieu's behind Prince George, who gets to dress up and go on the photo opportunities, but it is Rove and Cheney that are controlling the system, and I'm glad to see that Lawrence Wilkerson and Peter Fitzgerald are now bringing it to everyone's attention. The inside scoop I gave 2.5 years ago. But we're not done. We got a few minutes left, and there's so many other examples of people lying and believing their own lies that I really can't let them all go. First, I want to talk about Harriet Myers, and then when I come back, I want to talk about some others. Harriet Myers, of course, is a classic example of cronyism gone too far. I mean, she is the one who told David Froom, conservative columnist, that George Bush was the most brilliant man she ever met. The most brilliant man she'd ever met. Watch superlatives, Harriet. She also sent a card to George Bush where she said, "You're the best governor ever." I don't know if she said it in that tone, but you're the best governor ever. Again, watch those superlatives. George Bush, the most brilliant man she's ever known. George Bush, the best governor ever. Well, George Bush has responded with superlatives of his own. He called Harriet Myers the most qualified person available. Now, none of these comments pass the laugh test. Is there any American in the world who believes that George Bush is the most brilliant man Harriet Myers ever met? Is there any American in the world who believes that George Bush was the best governor ever? Is there anyone in the world who believes that Harriet Myers is the most qualified person to be Supreme Court Justice of the United States? No one does. But you get to a point where you believe your own lies. Harriet Myers knew she had to suck up to this president. She knew that loyalty to George Bush means more than truth, that loyalty to him means more than loyalty to America. So she could afford to say, "You're the best governor ever. He's the most brilliant man I've ever known," because she knew that sucking up would get her places that talent would not. George Bush knew the same thing, That's why he called her the most qualified. He knew she wasn't the most qualified, but he also knew that he wanted someone who was loyal to him more than someone who was qualified. And so it goes. People believing their own lies, saying things that even they know aren't true, until it brings them down. We'll be back with more examples of that in the last 5 minutes, right after this.
There are times and occasions when only roses will do. Roses247.com searches rose growers all over the world for the season's very best and most special roses at the most reasonable prices. For this week's greatest selection of fresh, beautifully cultivated roses, chosen to convey just exactly the sentiment you want to express, get online to www.roses247.com. We've done all the screening and shopping for you. It's fast, easy, and safe to order online, just as hundreds of thousands do all the time. So for birthdays, anniversaries, special remembrances, or just to say you are very much loved, type in roses247.com. We're open around the clock at roses247.com. Roses say it best.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, 3 episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.TalkStarRadio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just 5 minutes to go here. I hope you've enjoyed 2 hours of discussing how it is that people in power get in trouble when they believe their own lies. And believe it or not, I haven't had enough time in the 2 hours to mention them all. I want to try to do my best in the last 5 minutes here. I think when it comes to gay rights, that's one of the clearest examples of people believing their own lies. And doing so in really, really damaging ways. And the two that come to mind most clearly are the Catholic Church and the military. Let's start with the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has a severe shortage of priests. They have to, actually, some priests have to celebrate masses at several different churches. Some congregations go without priests for weeks at a time. And now the Catholic Church is making clear that celibate gay men will not be allowed to be priests anymore. Now, this is a church that's had tremendous scandals, right? They've had pedophilia scandals where they've had priests molest boys and girls. And they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to talk about those priests. And they also have said that you can't have married clergymen, right? People who aren't celibate. And now they're saying that even if you're celibate, now think about the hypocrisy here. Even if you're celibate, the fact that you would like, you're sexually attracted to men rather than women, even if you don't act on it, somehow means you can't be a good priest. So basically, you should be not having sex with women and men and thinking about women, but you shouldn't be not having sex with women and men and thinking about men. It just doesn't make logical sense. It's pure prejudice is what it is, and the shortage of priests will continue. There's the same shortage in the military, right? We know that recruitment is way down. People just don't want to fight for George Bush's war in Iraq. And what's happening? Gay men and lesbian women want to fight, but they're not allowed to fight. Some of our best translators, Arabic translators in the country, happen to be gay. They are being fired. So what has the administration done? They've done a stop-loss program. They have said, in effect, that if you're gay, as long as there's a war going on, we're not going to discharge you. But if there's not a war going on, then we'll fire you. In other words, when we need you, we'll use you, and when we don't, we're going to fire you and take your pension. But there's a problem. You see, the law, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law, passed by conservatives during the Bill Clinton administration and signed to his everlasting disgrace by Bill Clinton, says, in fact, that there's no such thing as a stop-loss program. You're required by law to discriminate in the military. Unless and until Congress changes that law, you are required to fire anyone for being gay, whether you need them or not. So the military is secretly breaking the law by refusing to discriminate, not because they believe discrimination is wrong, but because they actually need the gay men and women to fight for our forces. Pretty sad, huh? They can't even believe their own lies, even when they try to. And finally, the last lie that I need to talk about is contracting. The Republicans believe that the government can do no right, that FEMA organizations to help in times of disaster shouldn't be government run, that the private sector can do a better job despite what we saw in Hurricane Katrina. And so when it comes to Homeland Security, they are giving billions of dollars to Halliburton and other contractors. And what are those contractors doing? Well, audits are showing that they're way overbilling us. They've actually spent more than $1 billion they had no right to spend just so far. Because you know what, folks? Private contractors are out for private gain, whereas government workers, believe it or not, are just trying to do a good job. And so,